Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. This morning I have as my guest, Chris Gibson. And Chris is a holistic health expert, and he's the hardest working guy in skincare. That is your little tag that you use. Yes. He wrote a book in the mid-2000s called Acne Free in 3 Days. And it sold over 1 million copies, and that's amazing. Anytime you've sold that many, it's a good book. He's also been featured on Good Morning America, The Daily Buzz, and numerous other talk shows. So welcome, Chris. I'm glad to have you on the show this morning.
It's great to be here.
You're going to be talking about skincare today.
Yes.
And that is your kind of like newest endeavor where you're actually creating potions and lotions, so to speak. So how did that all come about? I know you did the book on acne. So did it actually have its roots there? Is that where it began?
It did, because, a little bit of background about the acne book. The premise of the book was really my story of what happened to me in my 20s.
Okay.
I started having skin problems when I was about 11, which is self-esteem crushing as you go into your teens.
Oh, absolutely. For girls or boys.
Yep. So I was whisked off to the dermatologist pretty quickly and fought that battle, antibiotics and all of those things. It didn't really work well for me, culminating to my 20s where I tried Accutane, which was a really tough go because I think you still have to do this, but you had to have blood tests every 2 weeks because it changed the lipid profile in your liver.
Is it I don't even know what it is.
It's a vitamin A derivative. Okay. It's a drug that came out in the early 1980s to help stop acne, because the whole premise of dermatology, which is the right one with acne, is to prevent scarring.
Mm-hmm.
That's their goal, especially teenage folks, because that's where that occurs and you spend mm-hmm. a lifetime trying to get rid of the scars.
Mm-hmm.
So Accutane was the latest endeavor with an internal medicine that you took. It's still on the market. People still take it, but it has a host of side effects, which I won't get into. It's different for everybody, but it didn't work for me.
Okay.
It suppressed the acne, but it came back. So I took it again, which is rare to take the drug again, suppressed the acne some again, and then it came back. And each time it came back, it became worse. So I went to see a dermatologist one more time in Dallas, where I lived and grew up. Top of the line, $500 a visit. And this is in the 80s. So $500 in the 80s was a lot of money.
That is a lot of money anytime, but that, back then it
really
was
really a lot of money. So right. I go in, and she's very wonderful, and she talks to me about TCA peels and the things we can do for some of the scarring. And I've already been on Accutane twice, so that's not recommended that I take it a third time since it didn't work. And she hands me a prescription for antibiotics. So, of course, I'm, like, devastated, but like all people who deal with internal pain, I was, like, very plastic about it. I smiled. I thanked her. And on the way out, I ripped the prescription in half and threw it in the trash.
Mm.
So I paid $500 to learn a lesson that I had already
heard. And how old were you now?
I was about 23.
Okay.
So that day, I made a determination that I was going to figure this out on my own, because I was not going to go through life breaking out and dealing with the acne problems. And I didn't realize at the time all the other things that were going on with me that was associated with. So that began a journey of going to the herbal store and learning about Tahibo, and then I would take herbs and it would get worse, and so I was still very frustrated. And then the light bulb went off. If I'm taking something and it makes it worse, it's reacting to that.
Mm-hmm.
So then there must be something I'm doing that's causing this.
Mm-hmm.
Ding. So yep. I took all of that money and all of that time and all of that pain to come to that one moment where I said, oh, wait a minute. There must be something I'm doing
right.
that's not agreeing with me.
Right.
So by then I had learned quite a bit about the body, and, you know, I'd done reflexology. I'm giving you really the thumbnail of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was the Tahibo tea from the bark of the South American tree that made it, flushed it out, which made it worse, which made me realize, okay, that can impact this.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to reading, and I came across a book by Edgar Cayce, who was a prophet that was, mm-hmm. you know, the sleeping prophet from the 40s.
And a lot of his things are
they work.
Scarily
they
true.
They actually work.
Yeah.
So I tried his apple fast. I went on a food vacation. You know, there weren't any colon cleanses in the 80s. There was butcher's broom. That's the only thing they had. That's what it was called. Aptly so, butcher's broom. Which actually I think the FDA took the ability for you to buy that away. So sometime in there. But, so I went on this apple fast. I did it exactly as he said. I went on apples and water for 3 days only. I did the colonic cleanses. Guess what? No acne.
I was going to say it got better.
Not only did it stop, it just went away. Like the bumps went away. The red marks went away. It blew my mind.
I bet.
So, of course, I developed a regimen around that for health, and I lived my life. I went to work for the telephone company, and I had a very nice career there. This is before I wrote the book, because I wrote the book in the mid-2000s. So I lived my life around it, not just the acne I learned about. You know, I went through a bout of weight gain and all of that, but we're trying to get to where the skincare comes in. And I started to realize that skincare products were not designed to support what I was doing. So the skincare products I was using, which had not worked, which was benzoyl peroxide and salicylic acid and all of those things, weren't really helpful to me. They dried out my skin. They made it worse. Even though I had the acne under control, I was still trying to use all these oil control things. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So roll forward to the book coming out, and I'm making all these recommendations in the book, and I'm going on television, and it's working for people. And they're buying castor oil, which is an ingredient that I talk about, and tar, you know, coal tar soap, and all the things, natural things that I was doing, using castor oil and baking soda to remove warts and moles that you don't want. All this stuff that I learned from the Cayce thing, and I was writing the Cayce organization, all these letters going, this stuff is wonderful, do you mind
right.
if I talk about this? Well, no, absolutely they don't care, you know, because it's getting his word out.
Right.
So I decided it was time a couple of years ago. Skip over why I took some time off from all that recession. That's for another show. That things still just weren't progressing. That big brands, and I won't name any names, but you see them on television all the time, were putting out the same products with a different label, or it's an updated brand, or it's this or it's that, but it's really the same old stuff. So I decided to get back in the fray, so to speak, with a show on YouTube called Chris Gibson Live, a health and wellness themed show where I talk about skincare, weight loss, food preparation, how things can taste good. They don't have to be crummy tasting just to be healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw out a little video. I thought, I'm going to put a video together on sunscreen, because 2 years ago it came out that Hawaii banned sunscreen because they were finding that the ingredients in the sunscreen was getting into the ocean, into the coral reefs, and causing all kinds of marine life problems and death.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that topic to open. That was my first video on Chris Gibson Live. And I thought, well, if I'm still relevant, this video should do pretty well, because, you know, I have credibility. And YouTube is not like TV. You know, you got to earn your audience over there. It's really hard to do. So I put that video out, and it did okay. And I put another one out on something else. And then all of a sudden that video took off, and it had over 200,000 views.
Wow.
So I knew the need is still there,
mm-hmm.
for people to understand what it is that they're putting on their skin. And it, just because it's labeled for something doesn't mean it is good for you.
Right.
It might be good for someone else, but it may not be good for you.
Right.
So that led into the natural progression of talking about all these different things you could do with food and for your skin, and using natural oils and essential oils and botanicals. And then it got to the point where people started asking me again, what skincare products do you recommend? And I've always recommended Neutrogena and Aveeno, because they're the closest things over the counter that are still, and they've been around a long time.
They have been.
but they're still pretty true to their formulations. They don't put parabens in there. They know better than do all that stuff. You won't find nitrates and sulfates and sulfides in their products. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take a look. And if this is meant to be, I want the lab in the U.S. where I can visit it. I want the botanically based. I want the chemical names on the products rather than the botanical names, because people need to learn. We need to move forward with this in the society that mm-hmm. it may have a weird name, but that doesn't mean it's bad for you. But you need to know, because, you know, the game gets played in the marketplace with these names on things.
Yes.
So I came up with a product line called Clear Revolution. And it was for people like me, the anti-agers, mm-hmm. which, you know, I turned 55 this year and I don't look it. I know I don't look it.
No, you don't.
And if you go to my website, you'll know I don't. If you watch my videos, you'll know I don't look at it. It's because I started walking the walk mm-hmm. really early.
Right.
About the internal cleansing, and you fall off the wagon, you gain some pounds, you get them back off. You start eating lots of sweets and sugar and you start to break out, you step back. Mm-hmm. It's not about saying no to yourself all the time. It's about realizing there's consequences and rewards to everything we do, and being able to shift back when you need to.
Right.
So I wanted a product that could do that, that was reasonably priced, produced where I could know what was in it, where it's more regulated, because we're anything in the United States, we're regulated. So we looked at that, and then I wanted them to be safe for a wide variety of skin conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm making this really kind of limited. Well, I found the right lab. It took some time. Tested the product. We got the samples in, and took almost a year to test them before I decided on which things that I had. Not just me. I had a lot of people testing things. So we came up with Clear Revolution Skincare. We came out with a face wash that's made from borage oil, and it is everybody's favorite that buys that.
So what is borage oil?
It's a botanical. Borage is a perennial. It's funny. I lived in Pennsylvania for 15 years, and I had to learn about perennials, because if you grow anything in Pennsylvania, it's not like growing things here in Florida.
Right, right.
It doesn't work.
Right.
So borage is an herbal type perennial.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
It smells, it looks kind of like lamb's ear. Do you remember that one?
I do. It's very
soft.
It's
very gray, very soft. So borage is like that, and it smells really, really good, and it's very soothing to the skin.
Hmm.
And it has some natural AHA, alpha hydroxy, and beta hydroxy properties.
Okay.
But it's botanical.
Okay.
So the base of that face wash is that, and it foams up, and it's so creamy and nice. You guys shave with it.
Wow.
The only thing you can't do with it is wash your hair.
Okay.
Because it's got the oil in it, which
so
you would think.
It's going to leave your hair
oily. It does leave your hair feeling over-conditioned, mm-hmm. is what I would call it. It's not terrible, but people use it to shave and everything, so it's really great. And then we came up with vitamin C serum and a peptide serum. All of these are derivatives of botanicals. And what I always tell people to understand is that any chemical that we have on the earth that you buy is a medicine or a skincare product, came from a natural source.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we didn't go to Mars and bring something down here and make something out of it. But it's that it's been altered and concentrated and chained up in ways that makes it toxic.
Right. And I was going to say just like
this
our food.
This makes it toxic, yes. So food can be the same.
Explain peptides, because a lot of people hear that word, but they don't know what it really means.
That's a good question. Peptides, and there are many different kinds of peptides. You can think about, there are internal peptides that you take,
mm-hmm.
Like an algae, if you take any of those things, spirulina, all of those were a peptide base. It's basically an enzymatic function that happens from a product or a source.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use a peptide on your skin, you're putting an enzyme on your skin that changes the nucleic acid of the cell, which either helps plump the cell, helps refresh the cell, helps it divide faster, helps speed up healing,
mm-hmm.
like any of those types of mechanisms that come from an enzymatic process.
So
that's the scientific thing of a peptide.
All right. So if I were going to say, and we talked a little bit before the show started, that I would ask you questions.
Sure.
Just for the listeners. So in the event that somebody had rosacea, as an example, I would think that particular facial wash would be good for them, because
yeah,
it would reduce inflammation.
A peptide can reduce inflammation, and all of the diseases of the skin that are related to immune system, which is psoriasis and eczema and acne.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's an arthritic psoriasis that's still immune, so mm-hmm. arthritis is immune driven.
Mm-hmm.
what you want products to do is to soothe, hydrate, and reduce inflammation,
right,
or calm.
Right.
That's what they're
so
based.
So did you come up with a shampoo as well?
Not yet.
You're working
not
on
yet,
it.
Not yet. I just did a video on scalp acne, which is really just an imbalance in the bacteria on the scalp.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, tea tree oil shampoos, coal tar-based shampoos, Nizoral if it's really severe. That's it is a chemical drug, but it's derived from natural resources, and it works for well for a lot of people. Nizoral, which is a... what it does is it balances the pH of the skin,
mm-hmm.
which I'll get into in a minute, which is really what we're really talking about.
Right.
And it'll stop scalp psoriasis.
That's what I was wondering. Because
yes,
you hear right now,
I'm
trying to remember the name of the drug, because I personally don't believe in using drugs, period.
Yeah.
But the psoriatic arthritis ads for, and I should remember the name of this because it's on all the time. But for those individuals, you know, they're taking a drug that is extremely painful to take. Because I have a couple of people that I know that have that condition, and it's an injection, and they're in serious pain usually for a couple of days.
Wow.
And so, you know, if they have psoriatic arthritis, it's not just on their skin, but their scalp, and it's affecting their joints, you know, and so they're miserable from top to bottom.
Yeah.
So a shampoo like you're talking about or discovering or creating could make at least a difference in the skin part.
Yeah, it would help with the symptoms. I mean, you know, all of the skin issues are symptomatic of something else.
Mm-hmm.
So your skin's your largest organ.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to protect you from the environment, yet we slather all this chemical stuff all over ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we get it, you know, we get messages from it, and then the what do they call it, the rabble in the marketplace. But the consensus becomes, you know, we want better products, we want something that's, you know, less harmful to us and now less harmful to the environment, which is another reason that I created that skincare line.
Right.
Because it's made from botanicals, which means we're growing things.
Right. Have you ever heard of, I think it's called Tamanu oil?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another one that's out there that I've read a little bit about, just because there's so many different oils that are good for your skin.
Yeah, there are. And they're easy to get. And remember that a lot of the products that you buy that are chemically produced may have some of that in there. But large skincare companies buy and on the whole use a lot of filler in their products.
Mm-hmm.
Volumizers is the name in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
We need to volumize this product. So how much ingredient has to be in the product to be at least give some sort of effect where people feel like they got their money's worth?
Right. And how much it is?
Is volume.
Yeah.
Because we have to produce this. And it's expensive to produce skincare. It is. I mean, my skincare is not expensive in the genre of skincare that it's in. But I can tell you, the margins are, it's expensive. If
mm-hmm.
you're going to get the real stuff, it's going to cost you some money.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost you department store money.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you go to any department store and look at Lancome products
yeah.
or Elizabeth Arden
yeah.
or any of those upper end.
Yeah.
They are super
and
expensive.
And it's because it costs them a lot of money to produce those products.
Well,
and then package
them yeah.
and market them. So
right.
I don't spend a lot of money on packaged marketing. I spend a lot of money on word of mouth.
Yeah.
And talking about and educating people on their skin
mm-hmm.
and how to take care of it and how you can reverse things. I mean, it's easier not to have things to reverse, but you can reverse things. I'm a big believer in exfoliation.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I preach all the time, that people need to use some sort of buff puff or a body sponge all the time to get that dead skin cells. They're microscopic. You don't see them, but they're
mm-hmm.
there. And as we get older, they're slower to come off.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to keep them going. You
what
want to keep them going.
You know, something that a lot of dermatologists, I go see mine once or twice a year, depending. But I believe it's pronounced seborrheic keratosis. And that is, you know, the dermatology department will say, oh, it's old age barnacles. So what do you think about those?
There is a host. There's the nodules. There's the one you just mentioned. There are skin tags.
Mm-hmm.
There are moles. They are a natural part of the body. A lot of times when people are acid, they tend to be more prevalent.
Mm.
Because their body is acid. Your body knows how to take care of a lot of things. Like, I can tell a real quick story here. I am one of those people that has got a lot of Nordic, what do you want to call it, DNA in me and my physical body. So I started noticing these little red moles when I was right in my late 20s. I freaked out and ran to the dermatologist thinking, oh my God, this is skin cancer. You know, I was born in Dallas, grew up in Texas, and lived there until I was 34. So I'd been in the sun a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, my mother was a little forward-thinking. She slathered on sunscreen in the 80s. We just got it, that the sunscreen was important. And it's like, oh, those are normal. That's the skin. You know, you explain the broken little capillary, then it forms mm-hmm. a little bump. Your skin will take care of that on its own, and they do go away over time. So if it bothers you, if you have something that's bothering you and you go to the dermatologist and they say, we need to remove it, have it removed. You don't want skin cancer. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. That does happen. Mm-hmm. But if you have an alkaline, if you're living a more alkaline life, you're not eating a lot of processed foods. I know this for real. If you're very alkaline, you're going to minimize the amount of that goes on, mm-hmm. especially those little hard bumps. Now, if you get the little hard bumps, they almost look like a little kernel under the skin, just under the skin. They'll remove them for you. They stick a needle in there, and then they push it out. It's just under the very outer layer of the skin. Exfoliation, again, will help the body deal with that on its own. Mm-hmm. They'll go away. Scrubs can help. The Buff Puff or a body sponge, like what we sell, is the same sort of thing. Skin peels, AHA and BHA acid lotions that help speed up cellular turnover will all help that. All that is just some keratin that's gotten trapped under the skin. Mm-hmm. And it's made a little place. And no one likes them. You know, no one likes them. They're usually light colored, but they can be dark colored. But what I tell people, because I guess I'm a grounded person when it comes to this, if you have something that's bothering you, and you go to the dermatologist to have it removed, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to talk about is kind of preventing it and having the body speed up, taking care of it itself. A lot of times you get moles and warts. That was the second book I wrote. That thing was huge. No more moles, warts, or skin tags. Another Casey thing of the castor oil and baking soda and putting it on there and leaving it on there covered, and that they fall off. That book sold a ton of books because it works.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of people cutting skin tags off.
Nah, That's not such a good idea.
No, because you're going to bleed and it's going to freak you out. Uh-huh. And it's mentally stressful to do that sort of thing.
Right. So do they just put like a Band-Aid? Put it on top?
Yeah, basically. I did a video on that, how to mix it up. Yeah. You make it like toothpaste and you massage it in gently mm-hmm. for 3 or 4 minutes. And then you don't leave a lot of excess on there, but you leave it on there with the castor oil and you wrap it. Mm-hmm. And it will. What happens is, so people understand the mechanism, because I think it's always important to understand the mechanism behind mm-hmm. why this works. Mm-hmm. A wart is a virus.
Okay.
A mole is a part of your skin where the DNA of the skin cells is telling it to grow. It's not cancer. It's similar. The mechanism's similar. Mm-hmm. But it is a predisposed DNA messaging that I'm going to be this big and 3 hairs are going to grow out of it. Okay. But cancer's not like that.
Right.
You know, cancer is out of, you know, that's on, it's like the train off the tracks.
Right.
So you can remove both of these in a similar fashion. Moles take a lot longer because, again, they're programmed into your body's DNA. You can mm-hmm. remove them, and people do it successfully this way all the time. Or you can go to the dermatologist now. You know, if it's bothering, if you've got a mole in your belt line, why would you walk around with that?
Right, because you're irritating.
Take care of it.
Yeah.
So you put the paste on. The mechanism behind it working is because it changes the pH of your skin, and the virus inside the wart can't live in that.
Mm.
It kills it. So some warts run their course. If you were a gardener like I was out for years, I would get the little ones on my fingers, and I didn't know they're not contagious. I didn't freak out too much because I knew they would go away. But people really suffer with those.
Yeah.
You know, they're embarrassed or they try to cover them, and the thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, it keeps taking up more space, and it hurts. And you compound W hurts to go to the dermatologist, and that's how I learned about mm-hmm. this. I had one that wouldn't go away, a planter's wart on my finger from gardening and having a lawn business back in the day. And she said, oh, I can take care of that for you. So I know what she was doing. She took my hand out and she froze it. Well, it didn't hurt the freezing, But 10 minutes after my finger thawed out, it hurt like hell.
Right.
And it bled and it turned black and it was disgusting. And then after all of that, it finally healed. It left a mark and the thing came back.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, okay, there's got to be a better way. If I can clear up acne in people and myself, there's got to be a better way. So I went back to the Casey material and sure enough, that's where I found out. I thought, you know what? I have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't talk too much in his books about mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. He just told you what to
Spirit didn't tell you why it did what it did. Right. It just said, do it. Right. And people right. did it and they got well and that's how he became famous.
Right.
So I'm going to dig in and try to figure out, okay, well, a virus cannot live in an alkaline environment. I already know that from the stuff that I've learned from nutrition, being a nutritionist, from helping people with their skincare. I already know that. You won't even get colds
mm-hmm.
if you're alkaline. So, I tried it. It worked. I looked it up and I said, all right, well, it's a virus. So I made it alkaline and it killed the virus. And I could see in the wart where the places where the virus were turned dark,
mm-hmm.
they died. That thing went away. It never came back.
Hmm.
So I wrote a book about it. I took something that was very painful and just beyond me that you would go through that for something like that. There had to be a better way. That book does. I still sell that book too. But I did a video on it and I got a lot of feedback that was very helpful. One of the best videos I put out organically.
Hmm.
You know, because you can advertise your videos, but on YouTube they let you look at how a video does organically. How do people looking for that
mm-hmm. solution? They had typed in like how yeah. to get rid of.
It tells you that, and mm-hmm. I can tell you again. I say, "Well, I'm onto something here." So I did one on moles. I did one on warts. Both videos did very well. And these are mostly acne people that follow me in skincare, or you're on keto, or you're trying mm-hmm. to lose weight, or you're a baby boomer
mm-hmm.
trying to like clean up your act. That's right. pretty much what right. what comes to listen to me. So the point of the whole thing is that. The body is very flexible and it's programmed for health.
It wants to get
it
better.
It wants to be better. Yeah. It wants to function.
Right.
Its job, outside of what we think it is to function. mm-hmm. So when there's disease, and I'm not saying that disease, and I call it dis-ease because I've called it dis-ease for so long.
Right,
that's
right.
a spiritual thing with that.
Right.
It tries to get better, and sometimes medicines help. Sometimes they kill you, it just depends.
Yeah.
But I do know that, and I will always be a believer that fasting, by shutting things off, is sort of like the spiritual principle. The way to get what you want in life oftentimes is to just let it all go for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let it all go. It's the same thing in skin and disease. Just let it go. Quit fighting it. Quit strong-arming it. Quit interacting with it. Just let it go for a minute. And I always use this analogy for people and they go, oh, that's not going to work. I was like, okay, think of something because we all have these things that you really wanted. Health-wise, money-wise, skincare for me. Think about all of that. I had to go on a food vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I had Your to apples. Let it all go. The crap right. I was doing, I had to let it all go physically and it went away. What did that teach me? Same thing. I say, think of something you wanted. And then when you didn't either want it anymore, move beyond it, or it didn't matter, or you let it go, the frickin' thing showed up.
True. Right.
Because it's resistance.
Right.
And so we get sick, and or we get a problem, and instead of wanting to look at it, we start to go to war. And I talk a lot about that in the book, in acne. I was precipitating that from a spiritual standpoint, from being at war with my own body. Mm-hmm. Well, it's your body. You're at war with yourself.
Right. Exactly.
Not a good place to be.
No.
And we have miraculous healings in every... Just one was in the news not too long ago. A girl that had cancer, they just went away.
And was the story there that she just yeah. kind of said, okay? Yeah.
Sometimes people don't know what happens.
Right.
Because, we do a lot of work when we're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But that is where the induced coma came from.
Mm.
Oftentimes they will put a person in a coma and whatever is wrong... will write itself.
Right.
So that's, again, it gives me chills when I think about it. So our medical community is wonderful and they do wonderful things and I have fortunate to have doctors that are very, they're well known and they're very balanced in their approach with people.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a huge difference.
It does. And their bedside manner is such that they understand that there is a mental and emotional and spiritual part to that disease, whatever it is. So they try to treat across the spectrum.
So they're holistic. I mean, they
may not prescribe holistic things, but you know, they know what I do, and I've never had one of those come back and say anything, except they said, I wish when you were on TV in the mid-2000s talking about probiotics and that TV doctor tried to poo-poo you. And now it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And we give it to patients. That's how we stopped, C. diff.
Yes.
We figured out, okay, we need the first thing when we see a person is, has C. diff is we pump them full of it. My mother had diverticulitis. And so she went through and had the surgery, and of course it was horrible. That was worse than anything. That's worse than what she passed from, I think, physically. You know, she was ready to go when she left. That's a lot different than that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had her on yogurts. They had her on probiotics. You know, they had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So long way in like 10 years, boom. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis, thank you for your yogurt commercials, you know, with the probiotics. And so now we know. But like everything, it gets spun out of control and you have to do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing videos now on which probiotic for which thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did one on skin and which ones are actually helpful to skin health.
So which ones are?
Oh, it's really Acidophilus. Bacillus acidophilus is the main one because it produces the most hydrogen peroxide in your body. Natural. Don't go drink hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, really.
Natural hydrogen peroxide.
Right.
That particular probiotic crowds out Candida.
Okay.
It's the anti-Candida one. And a lot of times in inflammatory skin disease, immune skin disease, Candida and yeast play a role.
Mm-hmm.
You can look back at a person's history, and if they've taken a lot of antibiotics, like I did when I was a child, for ear infections, that's where it started with me. Mm-hmm. I had to dig. I forgot. That I had tonsils taken out. And I forgot that I had all those terrible sore throats. And the first line of defense, I can remember this, you guys that are listening that are over, I would say 30, probably know this, maybe 40. But antibiotics used to come in this pink liquid that tasted like bubblegum.
Yep.
And it had a dropper that they squirted it in your mouth. That's how you got your antibiotics. It wasn't a pill.
Right.
I took that stuff all the time.
It tastes
like candy.
All right.
You know, remember the little pink thing, ice cream things from the fair and the Six Flags and Disney? They pushed them up. That's what it tasted like. So it tasted good. Well, the problem with that is you've already set yourself up at a young age the yeast to get out of control. So as soon as I started producing more oil as a teenager, boom. I'm not sure that's not why I didn't enter puberty sooner. Because they're seeing, because at 11... I was breaking out.
Wow. Okay.
So the impact, antibiotics are good, but if they're overused, they're not good.
Well, and back, especially I would say in the 70s and 80s, they were being used a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you walked in with anything and they gave you a
prescription. What did the $500 dermatologist hand me at 23 years old in that office?
Right. A prescription
and like,
for an
antibiotic. What is this, like 1980? 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, you know, I'm like, done that. That's not going to work.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, I could have a TCA peel, and I am a big, and I should talk about that on this show because I am, again, exfoliation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so important now today because our air is not that super clean.
No.
And
you know what I just heard the other day, and I didn't even think about this, but you probably know it already, is because of the number of cars, like in Pinellas County, the tire dust.
Oh, yeah. Have you not seen that black dust we have? For those of you listening that don't live in Florida, we have these wonderful, beautiful white beaches, and we have beautiful days here most of the year. And it's not nearly as hot as people think it is, which we keep that a secret because we don't need any more people to move here. but it's not like Texas or the desert of California. It's not hot. It's tropical heat. But we have this black dust that gets on everything. And it took me forever to figure out what that stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
It gets on your car. I deal with salt. I live on the beach. So I know every 3 or 4 days, if I don't drive, I got to take the hose out there. And you got to hose everything down on the beach. Your air conditioners, your everything gets hosed down to get the salt off.
Mm-hmm.
So then I share a live workspace downtown St. Pete. And what is this stuff all over everything?
Yeah, and it's very
gritty. Very fine, gritty, black. It's a black dust,
mm-hmm.
and it's nasty. So yeah, it's From All the Tires. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll come up with something soon to do something with that. But your skin is dirty. Mm-hmm. We touch things. Mm-hmm. I just did a video where I talked about the fact that we touch our face. I just did it myself. Caught myself doing it right here. We touch our faces 3.6 times per hour.
Wow. Okay.
We don't wash our hands 3.6 times per hour. Even I don't do that. And I'm pretty pretty aware of what I, you know, touching things and then touching my eyes. I wear contact lenses. So, you know, that's first line of getting a cold.
Yep.
Gotta wash your hands when you have those in. Okay. So the point is, the dirt's there, mm-hmm. so you want to make sure you get it off. And it gets trapped in the skin, and if your skin cells are slower to come off, mm-hmm. you know, then you need to do things like skin peels and scrubs and stuff. You don't have to scrub your skin raw. It's not scrubbing a pan clean.
Right.
I talk about that in the videos. Like, I don't want you in the shower till you bleed.
No.
It should feel refreshing.
Right.
You should feel clean. And your skin should never be tight and dry. If your skin is tight and dry after you shower or wash your face or anything, it's too much, whatever you're using, I don't care what brand it is, I'm not going to pick on anybody, you need to change. Mm-hmm. For your body chemistry, that is too astringent. You should feel clean, but like a baby. Everybody has held a baby after they've had a bath. Because mm-hmm. baby wash is so alkaline. You know, it's like a puppy. You have to wash a puppy with Dawn dish soap. Somebody said, so what do you tell me? I should use Dawn dish soap in the shower compared to what you're using now? Probably so. You'd be better off.
Yeah.
You know, if you can use something that'll clean a baby duck
right,
without poisoning it, it's probably a good product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same ingredients that are in a lot of things, but they don't want to tell you that. You know, you're going out basically and buying most things that are over-the-counter washes is the same stuff. You could take, I won't name any names, several of the most well-branded body washes and put a half a cup of that in your washing machine, and your clothes will be just as clean as if you threw a Tide tablet in there.
Really? That's interesting.
It's sulfates. Sulfates are the cleaning mechanism. Again, the mechanism. These days, I'm about the mechanism. So people get why something does that way. But they're not going to tell you you're using laundry detergent on your hair.
No, because you wouldn't buy it.
Exactly right.
So they make it into, you know, lavender this and
exactly.
chamomile this. And
now, I want to touch on a little bit because it's I know you probably have more questions, but I want to make sure I interject something here that about the oils.
Mm-hmm.
Two things about the oils. Botanical oils, and that is the same. Olive oil is a botanical oil. So I make sure I clear that up. That's not just safflower oil or tea tree oil, or those are medicinal,
mm-hmm.
or lemongrass,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole host of them, are very good go-tos for problems, and you can look them up. Google, we have Google today, you can Google those products and you can get a fairly good idea about what they do and what they'll do for you,
mm-hmm.
and that's information is for the most part correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the problem becomes when people go to order them. You have to make sure that you're getting 100% oil, because a lot of companies overseas cut the oil with something else. And I'm going to go...
Like a carrier oil.
They'll use a carrier oil. Now,
yeah.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
So you're going to, well, Chris, you're telling me to buy the 100% tea tree oil or the 100% lemongrass oil or the 100% this. Yes. And you've dealt with oils,
mm-hmm.
so you know what I'm talking about. You want to cut the oil yourself.
Have
with some olive
carrier.
Oil.
Yeah, have your own.
So one drop of tea tree oil to three drops of olive oil, whatever, to use for acne is fine. But you don't know what they're using
mm-hmm.
over there. They've found products that have been cut with kerosene.
Oh, my goodness.
So
wow.
You need to do your due diligence. And I'm always going to say, it's work. Well, you know what? If I hadn't done the work, I wouldn't have figured out how to clear up my skin.
Right. That's true.
So to me, that doesn't hold too much water. If you're coming to me and saying, I have this issue that I really want to address, you got to do some work.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do your own research. You can love your doctor to death, but you got to do your own research. I learned this with my mother. I tell this story because it really brought this home to me. You know, I pride myself on two opinions, three opinions, researching it, looking at all the alternatives and trying to make the best decision. And I mean, my mother was a drinker. So her skin was very damaged when she got older. She got skin tears, which is where the skin rolls back. It's a thing that happens to a lot of elderly people that have had heavy drinking histories.
Wow.
Or they have other, you know, blood-related histories. And they would leave these scars. Like kind of mottled-looking, something like out of a horror film.
Wow.
And I discovered that tea tree oil and castor oil together, soothed over that, wrapped with a gauze, would leave the skin almost back exactly where it was. Plus, it healed quicker.
Sure.
So I learned about the efficacy of this. So as she got older, she had some health problems. I already mentioned she had diverticulitis. We had to go through that. And she had sarcoid, which is the keratosis thing you're talking about, but on the inside.
Oh, wow.
It gets in people's organs and such. It's like a cancer, but it's not cancer. It won't in of itself. If you look up sarcoid, you'll hear most about it in people's skin. It's the nodules get under the skin, the hard kernels of collagen.
Okay.
So it's really a collagen disease. But it can be anywhere. It can be anywhere in the body, and they're still trying to figure out what triggers it. There does seem to be some hereditary findings.
I remember when I was in Green Bay, there was a company there, and I won't name the company, but a lot of their employees came down with sarcoidosis.
Yes, sarcoidosis.
And that was in their lungs.
Yes.
From breathing.
That's what she had.
Okay. So it took us all. Asbestos.
Yes, it took us all kinds of testing. She had.
Oh, gosh.
I won't say she had it. The doctor as a person was not a terrible person.
Uh-huh.
But he was a terrible doctor that we were going to. So they put her through all these tests. They would tell her things. They put her on stress. She did a stress test one time. They had her on that treadmill for like 15 minutes. She can't breathe. And they're like, but you're breathing in and out. You should ride a bicycle. And my mother has replaced a hip, had diverticulitis. It was just, and I sat there in the middle of that thing and I went, she came in and I said, you need to fire this doctor. We need to find you another doctor. So we went to her osteo doctor. And all of you guys that are over 50 are going, oh, God, we're talking about osteo doctors. Yeah. So we went to her bone doctor and he referred somebody and the guy was amazing. Figured out with sarcoid. They wish they had caught it sooner. Mm-hmm. So it did, in the long run, it ended up, you know, taking her, because she had to go on steroids, and you know, anytime a dog, a cat, a human, anything goes on steroids, that's the last effort to push everything down to give you a life. Mm-hmm. But at some point, the steroids start to get bad on you. You can't see.
Mm-hmm.
They start to have effects. And then you come down to, do I continue to live with these effects? Or do I let them take the steroids away? Because when they do, everything that's been pushed back comes back
very quickly.
Back. Mm-hmm. So my mother made the decision to stop the steroids. And I told her, you know, it's 3 days later, she wasn't here. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we were with her and it's what she wanted.
She was ready.
And she squeezed her hands and she left, which amazed all the doctors, because I said, she's not going to be in hospice anytime. They bring the people down, you know, sorry to be depressing, but they bring the people down to make all these arrangements, and I'm going, you don't know my family. When my grandmother was ready to go, she just went.
Mm-hmm. And
it's that American Indian heritage they have. They're able to do that thing. I'm adopted into the family from a very young age, so I feel that connected, because all souls, that's your real family. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter about the physical family, but their physical heritage was that. And those people can do that sort of thing.
Right.
They can close their eyes and leave.
Right.
I'm just like, wow. So I tried to tell the doctor, she's not going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I came in and we were talking to her and I said, you know, it's all right if you want to go. We're prepared as we can be. You know, we're not happy about it. So she, you know, squeezed our hands and we watched her leave.
Just go.
She just goes.
Yeah.
And the doctor comes in and goes, they didn't have time to turn the pacemaker off. Just kept trying to bring her back. And I'm like, you need to turn that off. She's not coming back. She saw her mother earlier in the morning. That's how I knew.
Oh, sure. That's what I was thinking.
She reached up and said, Mama.
Yeah, Mama.
And I said, is Mimi here? She goes, yep. I'm like, ooh. I tell my sister, it's time.
Yeah.
They've come to get her. And it gives me chills. And I know there are a lot of people that go, that sounds so far out and so strange. But here was the gift. My mother got to go.
When she wanted.
And her decision.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be there.
Mm-hmm.
She got to squeeze our hand. We got to see her well. We didn't see them,
mm-hmm.
but you could feel them. You really could feel the presence in the room, mm-hmm. and she picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a gift.
Oh, yeah.
That I'll always have when my time comes. I'll probably relax a little bit because I'll go, oh, I know how this works. You know what I mean? It's not about... So I don't want to be like depressing or anything, but you know, it's... There's a lesson in everything.
There is.
So,
there is.
And I think the lesson for me, and I think I have just enough time to probably tell this part of this story, which goes back to your question, why did I do this? You know, the recession, I had a booming business. I had a booming book. I had the house on the hill. I had all this, it's just like out of The Secret. I had all this stuff going on. And then the recession hit. And the banks went crazy. And the credit lines went away. And this fell apart. And that fell apart. Then my mother died. All this stuff happened in a year. Year and a half. Mm. And I spent a good 3 years trying to resurrect things.
Yeah.
The past.
Right. To put it back together.
Let's try to sell the book some more. Let's try to do this. Or let's try to... The old skincare line. Let's try to put that back out. Let's say it just would not work. I wasn't getting it. Mm. So I did what I just talked about to bring this home. I let it go.
And so were you just sitting one evening going, I'm done?
I packed up. I guess I can say this on here. I sold my shit and moved to Florida.
Okay. From Texas.
I sold. The house was in foreclosure. It was just this big, enormous, ridiculous mess. Because what people don't understand about people, when you're riding high, it's like being on a high-speed train. And if something like a disease... Mm-hmm. Or a death of your business, or that ridiculous mess we went through, the financial thing happens, you crash at the speed your train is going. You don't sort of like eke off this rat tracks, you know? It's not like you cut a vine and watch it die. It's like you're off the rail. The bills are still due.
Right.
These are thousands of dollars worth of bills. I mean, it was the biggest freaking mess I had ever seen. And I thought, how did I dream... go to this. Mm. So when I got out of it and the universe took care of my house, and that's another story for another show. I'm sure, telling you, that is an amazing thing what happened. I didn't end up foreclosing. Someone bought it. It paid off all my bills.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, but that's a story for another time. When I was free of that, I literally was here living in someone's garage. And then I moved from a garage to a trailer. And I had this epiphany. When I was small, my parents got divorced, and my mother had a hard time with it. Mm. She drank a lot, she didn't work a lot, and we lived in this mobile home, which I vowed with blood I would get out of in Texas. It was not a nice mobile home. This is not the things we talk about in Florida, where the nice, it's a community. This is in a trailer park. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad has the big house still, has the, you know. I got out of that. I lived my life. I figured out, I think I wrote a book. I've been on TV. I had the big house. I had to move to Florida. It's basically homeless, but not by choice. Homeless for about 6 months. I had to move into a trailer because their relationship, the people I was starting to fall apart. So I'm sitting in this trailer that is the same age as the trailer I escaped as a child.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
That had been painted white. I'll never forget it. And I'm sitting in the middle of the floor. I don't have any furniture because I sold everything to move down here. I have my dogs, my roommate, and I are sitting in there. And I went, well, this is humbling. This is really humbling.
Oh, my goodness gracious, yes.
So I wasn't happy, and I threw it out. And I know it sounds like I'm kind of stretching this out, but I'm coming to the point right now. I wanted to be on the beach. I moved to Florida to be on the beach.
Okay.
And I was not staying in that mobile home. Not for one more minute. So an acquaintance called me and said, I had called some people and said, look, I'm looking for a house. I gave up on the beach thing. And he's like, well, what kind of house would you like? I said, I'd love to live on the beach. But I can't afford to live on the beach right now. I'm being realistic. So he's like, okay, well, I'll look for some rental houses. So I was looking for rental houses. I'd already made up my mind. I'm done with that. I get the message. It's all a game. Mm-hmm. You took it too serious. Let it go. It wasn't to punish me. The mobile home wasn't to punish me.
It was
to go, you're not supposed to take that stuff serious. Really?
Really?
So the phone rings, and it's that friend of mine. It's been about a month. And he goes, didn't you say you wanted to live on the beach? I go, yeah. He goes, I have an employee that's got a boyfriend, and she's moving to Tampa, and she has a bungalow on the beach. It's about $850 a month. What are you paying now? Is it $900 a month for this trailer? He said, would you like me to introduce you to the owner? And I went, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So long story short, I went out and looked at it. And it had some, you know, it's a bungalow, mm-hmm. but it's on the water, and I've kept it all this time, and it allowed me to let go. Mm-hmm. That's where I let go. Mm-hmm. I quit trying to resurrect anything. Right. The universe threw me the beach place, and it knocked my socks off right. that that could happen.
Right.
I mean, it's not a terrible place. It's nice. I've got it all fixed up down. So I sat on the beach for 3 years. And I did some consultancy work, which you know about, to help other authors with their books, because that's a skill set that I have. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then April of 18, I got the message. It's time to get off your ass and start helping people. You don't want to be doing this. Mm-hmm. You want to be doing what you were doing, but you can't do it the old way.
Right. And
so I had to let go of it. I had to actually give it up. Like, I know I'm never going back to that. I had to get it. I'm never going to do that again. Now it's new books. It's a YouTube show. Maybe a new podcast. It's talking to you. It's a skincare line that really helps people. Ding. So yep. The point is, even when you've had it all and you've had all these miracles things happen to you, and many of them did for that first go round to mm-hmm. happen. Mm-hmm. Even how I got on TV is miraculous. You can't get stuck there.
Right.
You can get just as stuck to success or to a pattern mm-hmm. as you can to a pattern of lack or a pattern of illness. You can get really stuck in that churn.
Right.
Where you have to really, like, I had to shut it off. That's why I tell people, let it go. Just let it go. Whatever you're fighting with, oh, I can't. I got to worry about it. I got to think it through. I got to, the best thing you can do for yourself is to just stop.
Yeah. That's no.
Let it go.
That is
so, one day I was really stressing out. I thought, well, I've learned this, and my video wasn't going right. And my roommate downtown's like, oh, are you gonna be able to, I'm like, noise, the fire department, people live in deliveries, the dogs barking. I disappeared into the bathroom, and I come out of my bathing suit with a towel and my sunglasses. What are you doing? Don't you have to get a video out? I said, I'm going up to the pool. I'm putting my music in, and I'm not doing the video today. I had to learn to respect that mm-hmm. out of myself, mm-hmm. you know, because either I am off or it's off or whatever, I'm not doing it.
Right.
So unless it's a court date where you got to show up or you'll go to jail, forget about it. Let it go. When I do that, when I give in,
right.
You know how long I was at the pool? About an hour.
I was going to say an hour.
I came down. I did my video.
But you needed
to have that break. I was fine. Yeah. I had to give in. Uh-huh. I was fighting it.
Right.
Fighting it. I have to get this done. Da, 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 da. And that's a lesson I'm learning now in my 50s. I have to let that go. Some days I feel a little depressed or something with all the news. I have to remember not to watch the news on a filming day. And I'll just give into it. I'll lay on the couch. I know I got all this stuff to do. And I'll feel it. Mm-hmm. And guess what?
Then it's
gone. I move through it. Yeah. It goes away.
Right. One of the things that crosses my mind when you came out with your swimsuit and your towel and everything and went to the pool, but I think when we acknowledge that part rather than fight it, and if you don't have a pool to go to, then go to a park. And
what I would do, take a walk.
Do something out in nature, because nature is always going to put you back in balance.
Yeah, that's why I love having a dog. It forces me to get outside. Mm-hmm.
What kind of dog do you have?
It's Jack Russells. I actually have three of them, but two of them are downtown and one is at the beach. And
they are energetic.
Yeah, and he wants his walk. And now his new thing is, I walk him, I got to get ready, I got to get downtown, I got to film or whatever I'm doing. And he's sitting in front of the door. I was like, we just did this. And then I figured out the other day, I said, you know what this is? This is him taking me for a walk. The first walk is to go. Mm-hmm. The second walk is for me to stop.
Yeah.
It's stop the frantic.
Yeah. He's balancing
you. He's making me do this again.
Yeah.
To get me out of that. Because, you know, they're very intuitive.
Yeah.
Very, very intuitive.
And they pick up on that energy.
Yeah. So I'm like, so the new thing is we have to walk twice every day in the morning before I leave. And I go, I know what you're doing. The first one's for you, the second one's for me. So I can go look at the beach and I can mm-hmm. look at the blue sky
right.
and appreciate and remember
why you're here.
That gift.
Right.
That beach was a gift. Whether I stay there forever or I don't, doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. The dream of having it and then getting it that way, which blew everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. And a mansion on the beach. You know, we want things the way we think we want. And the first house I had in Pennsylvania that I rented was a mansion. Because that's all they had that would fit a house from Texas. If you've ever been to the Northeast, you know homes are small. Mm-hmm. Or they're up and down. So I came from a house with three living rooms and all the ridiculous overdone stuff that we do in the South, trying to fit that up there. So they had an old mansion that, and this was a lovely experience, the people were lovely, that needed some repairs and stuff, whatever. I was very resistant to it. But I go up there and I move in because it's the only thing I can find for this job, and I'm cleaning it up and it's on top of the mountain. I'm not seeing any of this. So I'm working on it and I'm working my new job, and I'm sitting out on, what, taking a minute in nature, mm-hmm. on the porch of this thing, and I go, holy crap. This is what I asked for. It just cost me $700 a month. I don't have to make any of the repairs. This, I'm living it. Mm-hmm. I'm living in the big house with the tennis courts and 180 acres and a horse farm down the street. And, you know, my mother's loving it up there.
Sure.
And I'm getting paid for this really well from this job. It's mine, but it's no less mine than if I owned it, because who owns anything forever?
Well, that's true. That's
you know, true. I mean, you never really own it.
Right, right.
And that's when the first, and I was in my 30s when I got that lesson.
You were young to get it then.
It hit me.
Yeah.
This is what you wanted. Mm-hmm. You've got it. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to, they have a mortgage on it.
Right.
Are you not enjoying the tennis courts? Are you not enjoying the privacy? You're not enjoying having your friends up for the giant fires and the parties? Are you not enjoying the home and the you know, is the big, like, with the Riverstone fireplaces in every room? It was gorgeous. Hmm. And I'm like, oh, I guess I did get that, didn't I?
You guessed.
Whoops. So
I want you to let everybody know how they can reach you, because I know you're going to be back and we're going to, you know, have other opportunities.
Oh, there's lots to talk about. I just remembered a bunch of things. Yeah. The best way, if you want to watch my videos, is YouTube.com/Chris Gibson Live. Very easy. YouTube.com/Chris Gibson Live. You'll find me. ChrisGibsonLive.com is my website. You can sign up for my newsletter there, and I post recipes and things from the show. And the books are still available at Amazon, Acne Free in 3 Days, No More Moles, Warts or Skin Tags, that stuff, if that's something you want to look at. I highly recommend, though, that folks, since I'm doing a new book, actually watch the videos, because it's so much easier.
It would be.
And I give tips and I give links to where to find things I'm talking about. So really, YouTube is my hub.
And if they want to buy some of your skincare products.
ClearRevolutionSkincare.com. ClearRevolutionSkincare.com. And now when it's, you just type in Clear Rev and it shows up in Google. So you'll find it really easy. Big sea made out of water. Very pretty. So, but yeah, there's anti-aging and acne products there. Okay. And exfoliation products. We've got 11 items in the line. We'll be adding more, but the basics are there.
Okay. And is there like a certain amount that gets free shipping? Or?
They get free shipping in the U.S. It's $10 flat outside of the U.S. I decided to do that. It's just easier for everybody. If they use special 35, capital letter special 35, they'll get 35% off their whole order.
Yes. Well, that's really cool.
Special 35.
All right. Hope everybody heard that one. Special 35.
Yeah. Just all uppercase.
And that's the promo code.
Yes. Special 35. We'll get them 35% off. And again, U.S. is free shipping all the time. Overseas, it's $10 to help offset that cost, because it's expensive to ship overseas. But we do. All the time.
Do you?
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. Well, I really, really appreciate you being my guest today. This is going to be a fun journey with you. And I know in the future, we have a lot of things to talk about. I think probably helping people market any books that they've written would be a good thing.
Yeah, I can certainly tell those stories.
Yeah. So for those that are listening to the show, it's been such fun having you as part of the audience today. And if you know that a person should be hearing Chris and having him discuss his skincare line and his life and everything, then please go to synergyconnectionradio.com, and all of the podcasts are there. This will be the newest one, and you'll find the hour-long show. You can listen to it again, or you can share this with family members and friends. And otherwise, I truly hope you go out and make this your very best life. Thank you for joining us.